Start things off. Please tell us your name, where you live, and what your faith community is.
My name is Nick Martin. I live in Bend, Oregon, and I am presently a quasi-participant in a Presbyterian community, but was raised in the ELCA.
Okay, thank you for that. So tell me about growing up, what you thought you were going to do, and how that transpired over time.
To be completely honest, I did not know at all what it was that I was going to be doing with my life. It was only until a friend and mentor had encouraged me to consider attending college that, you know, the prospect of even pursuing something outside of finding a job or doing something to fill my time actually crept into my mind. So that's been, I would say, the bulk of my adult experience thus far, is really sort of teasing out and kind of uncovering the passions that I've held or that I have yet to discover.
What, and what are those passions? Where's it led you?
Well, I work in education at this time, and I've found being a part of a community that is invested in not only growing, but providing service and hospitality to others. I think for myself, at least, having struggled with finding my sense of belonging in the world, helping create that sense of belonging for others, I think, is what I find deep joy in.
Do you have a sense of where God has been involved in this path that you've been following?
That's a fantastic question. Given I have wrestled over the years with a sense of where God is or is not in my life, and discerning that has been kind of one of those other big life projects. But I really do believe in the idea that we are, all of us, as individuals that are both practitioners of the Christian faith, but also for anyone alive on this planet, for anyone that identifies or is in reality a child of God, I believe the notion that we are the hands and feet of God, and that you can encounter God in almost all situations or circumstances. Not to say that God is directly responsible for each and every instance of, you know, life that seemingly approaches you, or every instance of life that you encounter, but I believe that a connection with God can be found through any encounter.
Do you have any awareness of how you came to that notion?
Being a theology student in undergrad, also really taking time to be both present with individuals and also having individuals be present with me in times of what I would call spiritual or existential crisis, and also just seeking comfort and solace in communities that are seeking to provide that sense of space for discernment and that empowerment, that renewal, and that readiness to re-enter the world, I would say.
Okay. For those who might be listening, Nick and I are at Holden Village for a work week, is where this interview is taking place. So when you're not here at Holden, how do you spend your time during the week?
Well, work is a significant portion of my life.
What is that?
I work in student affairs for Oregon State University Cascades. I do a lot of student conduct work. I do a lot of crisis response work, which sometimes entails meeting with and helping individuals who are wrestling with suicidal ideation or any number of other mental health crises. It is demanding work, and it requires oftentimes presence, which is difficult to achieve when sometimes you feel stretched thin or overworked. Aside from work, which again I derive a lot of meaning from in my life, I try to get outside. I try to find renewal and restoration in the presence of creation, in the presence of the natural world, mountains especially. And I'm an avid air guitar enthusiast. I enjoy music.
You have that sounds like a very meaningful job, and you said difficult and stressful as well. We've been talking here about God working through us to provide daily bread for the needs of those around us. I would assume that's kind of an easy leap for you to make, and especially in your principal job.
There have been times that I've felt rather cynical about the work in which I'm invested or involved. At times, especially in higher education, it can feel as though you are turned to as a concierge of sorts. People ask and you should give them what they want because they're contributing, you know, a significant amount of money to a given experience, that being their education. And that's a whole nother topic of conversation, the commercialization of higher education. But What I found is that it is significant work. It is meaningful work because, again, I think the notion of presence comes up. We have individuals, traditional aged college students, 18 to 22, 24 years of age, but also many adult learners on my campus who are in very difficult and very vulnerable situations in which this is a means for them to pursue their dreams or goals, for them to start over, or for them to potentially grow in new and different ways. So being present to that and being both knowledgeable and accommodating, being able to listen and being able to reflect meaning back at individuals, I would say, and just being able to affirm and validate, I'd say that is something that some individuals sorely lack in their lives. And being that reaffirming presence, I've observed is significantly impactful for those whom I serve. So the connection, I know that we've been discussing the subject of ministry taking shape in daily life. I really do believe that it is a significant form of ministry and very much needed.
I would agree. Can you tell me about a time when you felt called to do something that you never would have chosen on your own?
So both prior to and during my time in higher education, I found myself particularly interested in interfaith dialogue, interfaith work. And I ended up delivering a sermon to my home congregation during my high school years about the necessity, especially post September 11th, of working with and reaching out to and seeking common ground with our religious neighbors, those that might identify as other, if you will, especially those that are affiliated with the Islamic faith, our Jewish neighbors, and anyone else, really. At the time, I found myself deeply troubled by portrayals, especially of American Muslims in mainstream media, as well as, you know, the talking heads on various news networks, you know, claiming this, that, where based on my own research, I was like, that's not true. I ended up attending an ELCA youth conference, and one of the speakers there really empowered us to begin taking walls, tearing down walls, and instead using the walls to form tables at which we can begin engaging with one another and developing civil discourse and creating a sense of bond between our neighbors and ourselves. And I ended up delivering a sermon on that subject, and that propelled me forward in a direction, even in graduate school, where I helped launch an interfaith dialogue network at Oregon State University in Corvallis. And that was wildly risky, especially at a state institution where, folks, it's not just a church and separation of church and state kind of issue, but it's also very profoundly personal, something that is at times left outside of the classroom. And it was difficult, it was challenging, but I found myself invested in this work, and I was like, how did I get to this place? And what I found, especially through graduate work in which I studied spiritual development of people in an educational text or context, it's necessary work. We need to talk about the things that, you know, motivate us in life, and we need to be able to speak in a vulnerable capacity. Brené Brown's research, for example, about the nature of vulnerability and speaking our own truth, I think is critical because it's important, I feel, for us to begin exploring that which really, you know, drives us, the core, the foundation, the inner life, as Parker Palmer would call it, and to share that with others and to encourage that, because I don't think we talk about it too much, especially in higher education setting where so many of us, I feel, are compelled to think about what I'm going to do for my career, how much money I'm going to make, you know. And maybe those are tied to broader life goals, but I really believe firmly that there's something deeper that higher education is missing. Call it character formation, call it the subject of integrity or soul, I don't know, but I think there's something that we in our respective capacities, especially as student affairs professionals, can really touch on that and help people begin thinking about and responding to the larger than life questions.
Have you ever found yourself saying in this call to interfaith work anything about the hand of God in that?
Again, I return to the old adage, we are the hands and feet of God. I do not believe that, you know, God manifests necessarily in, you know, just our Christian neighbors or the people that we sit next to in our congregations. I believe that, you know, if you believe that we are created in the image of God, that means that every human being possesses a particular instance or glimpse of God within them. And I have found, for myself at least, particular truths about the world that seem to make sense from my Buddhist, my Latter-day Saint, my humanistic or non-theistic friends over the course of time. So I think in some respects, we are all possessors of particular puzzle pieces that can help us as individuals kind of identify our deep calling, our deep connection to one another and to the divine, if you will.
Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
Good to have a chance to sit and talk with you.